I'll take any opportunity to share my testimony. It's just like every salvation testimony, a wonderful testimony of a miracle working God. And I'm just another one of them. I was born in 1988. I was born again in 2012. I was born into a Catholic family. My parents didn't necessarily know even what they believed. They just followed it, trusting their parents and so on and so forth. But I thank God for them. Even with the limited knowledge they had, they instilled in me that there is a God, and they instilled in me somewhat of a fear of God. And so growing up, though I didn't know the truth of Scripture, I was never seared my conscience to the extent that I didn't know that God knows what's going on right now. And God sees these things, and God knows these things. So it was on the 9th of May was when I got saved. Prior to that, it is a very shameful testimony. My teachers, main two teachers was Hollywood and secular music. And they give you a lot of promises, and they make it look all wonderful and good and lovely. And I'll tell you what, the second you start to taste, you think, oh, it's all of that that they promised. But the second you take the next taste, you just want more and more and more and more. And before you know it, you find it really doesn't satisfy, and it's just one big fat lie. And that sent me down a path that I thought I'd never go down. But it was in 2012 where friends of mine, they got saved, gloriously saved. It was actually a household salvation. It was an absolute miracle, and they remembered me for whatever reason. And so they shared the gospel with me, and at first it frustrated me to no end. Because what I was taught and what we knew and what was understood is whatever you're born into, that's what you stay, because God wanted you to be born into that family, be it Islam or Catholicism or whatever the case may be. And so if that's what you're born into, that's what you are, so, and that's what God wants you to be. And so when my friend gladly and joyfully said she was now born again, when she wasn't a born again before, I thought, you're an idiot. This is bad. This is not good. Because what we were taught is, look, they're a brainwashing cult. They don't believe in Mary. They don't believe in the saints. They're all about money. Stay away from them. And so that was enough to me look at her like, you've just taken an all new low. But she goes, it's nothing like that. It's all about the Saviour, and it's all about the Bible. I'm just following the Bible. And she just shared with me the most simplest gospel message you probably ever heard. She said, what Jesus did on that cross, he did for our sins. He did it for you. He finished it. He paid for every single one. You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. But you need to call upon the Lord to be saved, and he'll save you. And that was it. I had no Bible knowledge. All I had was that simple promise of God, that simple gospel message. But I left there frustrated. Wasn't long after. Another one of their family members got saved, miraculously saved, and his testimony really affected me. The radical change that took place in his life, I could argue all I want about what they were saying, but I could not deny the change that has taken place in their life, and they were giving all credit and all glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it really got me thinking, and a couple of weeks following that, the Lord was just heavily, heavily convicting me of my sin. Things that I would comfortably do without even thought, now I was very conscious of and very aware of. And I knew God was the answer, and I couldn't deny these testimonies, and I knew I had to get right with God, and I knew that was the way to do it. But what was stopping me was my family. Now, I don't say that they were physically stopping me from making this decision. In my heart, they were number one. And so they took priority in my life. And so if I was to start... No one had to tell me, by the way, that if I made this decision to get right with God, that I can't live the way I live then. I can't do the things. No one had to tell me that. I just knew Christians don't do that. Christians don't drink. Christians don't watch garbage and go to these kind of places. And Christians just don't do these things. And I knew that without anyone telling me. But what was stopping me mainly was my family. The love I had for them and the willingness to do whatever I had to for them. But God graciously reminded me of certain occasions where I won't always be there for them and I can't always protect them. And that was enough for me to realize I really can't do that. I really can't be the protector of the household and take care of them and so forth. So one night I could not shake these conviction. I was just so heavily convicted of my sin and I just got alone with God. That was on the 9th of May and I just cried out to God for the very first time. I was open and honest with God. Prior to that, I talked to Him as if I didn't say the thing, He doesn't know about it. It was so foolish. But that night, for the very first time, I opened up my heart to God and I said, Lord, You know my deepest, darkest secrets, even the very ones I've forgotten, You remember. And I said, Lord, I believe in what the Lord Jesus Christ done on that cross. And I believe He finished it and I believe He did it for me. And I said, Lord, please, if You will, send the Lord to be my Savior. I want Him to be my Lord, be my Savior. And that night, I was gloriously transformed. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul, like we sing. It's true. And it was about 10:30 at night. I went from an absolute wreck, weeping, bawling my eyes out, to not a teardrop and unexplainable joy. And so I just had to tell people. I couldn't explain it. Just something came in here and I had to tell people. So I went home and I woke up my whole family from their sleep. And I didn't know scripture. I didn't know terminology. I just explained to them that simple promise of God and how my life changed. I even confessed to them certain things they didn't know. And I couldn't stop there. My brothers got home and I sat outside with them, spent some time with them, and I couldn't stop there. And I don't know why, but my friends were still awake. And so I called them up and I went to visit them and I just told them. And I couldn't stop telling people from that day. And it's been an amazing joy that's never died, it's never ceased. It's just, and I thank God for that. 2012, 9th of May. I didn't know scripture, but I knew what God did was real. He changed my life. I couldn't deny it. With every persecution, any form of persecution that came my way, and it came in different forms, and it came from those that were dearest to my heart, I just could not deny what God has done. And I didn't have knowledge of scripture. I just knew this is real, what took place. And as I read the scriptures, I grew to understand what was taking place in my life. All this persecution, I started to realize it's not me they're really persecuting. Because prior to that night, they absolutely loved me. Why all of a sudden now when I talk about the Lord, they have an issue with me? But I started to realize it wasn't with me. It was with the truth I was sharing. And my heart went from being confused to pitying them and just to be broken for them and to be praying for them. It was not long after that where the Lord called me to salvation. I got saved gloriously. And I was reading my Bible. It was just this book. I never knew this book before. And I tried reading it before I got saved once. It was just like a blank page to me. After I got saved, I thought, how did I miss all of this? How didn't I see this? And anyways, I got to the book of Romans. And I was reading Romans for the very first time. It was a wonderful thing. And I got to Romans chapter 10. And I started to read in Romans chapter 10 about for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he goes on to say, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bringing glad tidings of good things. And as I read this scripture, and some probably know what I'm talking about now, I just got arrested on those scriptures. And they leapt off the page and they just dragged me to the ground and I just thought, what's this beating going on in my heart? And I'm thinking, me, Lord? No. And I knew the Lord from that passage was saying, I want you to preach. I've only been saved a few weeks. I'm thinking, preach. And I'm thinking, I didn't know how this works. I really didn't. I'm just thinking, why are these scriptures bothering me? And it was later, even through more preaching, as I'd sit under the preaching of the word, God confirmed this was His call to preach. Amen. And that was very humbling. And it wasn't until 2012, in October, of 2012, the first MBF I ever attended. I'd been in mosque, I couldn't get out of the Bible. I'd take every opportunity to get into it, lunch breaks, whatever. I was just in the scriptures. And I just see this distinction between being saved and being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ. And I'd see this, and I'd see a demonstration of this before me. It was confusing, I must say. Double standards, double living, you see. It just confused me what was so very clear in Scripture and the lifestyle in which God has called Christians to live. And then I was seeing something different, and for me it was confusion because I'm thinking, but I'm reading this, but I'm seeing something else. But nevertheless, I knew what the Scripture called for when it came to follow Christ. And it was at the 2012 MBF, Brother Ron Cuthbert was preaching, and the theme of that year was, I think it was, No Greater Love. That's right, it was No Greater Love. And he was just preaching on the love of Christ. And I do have to say it was the love of Christ that did constrain me. And the Lord just brought me under conviction to make a conscious decision to yield my life consciously to whatever the Lord wanted. And I surrendered my life on that day. It was the 3rd of October. It was on a Wednesday. I'll never forget it. I remember even my pastor at the time, when he took me and another brother aside, he says, "Are you sure you know what you're doing?" Not to scare me off, but he just wanted to make sure, "Are you sure you know what you're doing?" I said, "Absolutely." And just bowed our head and just one another together and committed ourselves to the Lord. 16th of December 2012, I was baptized. Prior to that, in coming up to sharing my testimony, I saw it in the scriptures. God wants me to testify, and so I sought to invite as many people as I could. And I thought of the wonderful idea of encouraging my family to come. And so it was on the night, I was just, before coming up to the night of my testimony, I was just bothered in the spirit, I couldn't explain it. I was just alone in the woods crying out to God, and I said, "Lord, I don't get what this is." But I knew it was preparing my heart for something about to take place. I said, "Lord, I'm just trusting you, I want to go up there and I just want to testify of you." And so the night came, a service started, got up singing. And my brothers and a few friends had come down the aisle and come around the front, and I thought, wow, they came to hear my testimony. But they didn't come to hear it, they came to stop it. And that was a very interesting night, long and short of it. I didn't give my testimony that night, and I decided it was best to leave with my brothers. But it was the following week where I gave my testimony. So it still worked out in that way. But I was given the ultimatum of, if I was to give my testimony, we didn't even get to baptism yet, but if I was to give my testimony, they told me, "Don't come home." And look, they weren't saying it as if they had something against me. This was my family who loves me with all their heart, and they're absolutely terrified about what I'm getting involved. They think I'm getting involved with the cult. And they were just trying all efforts in love to try and help me. That's what they were thinking. And that was just another attempt, but I just kept telling them, "Why are you making me do this? I can't deny my Lord. I can't deny what He's done for me. What's going on?" But I couldn't, and so I did. I gave my testimony, and sure enough, they lived out their promise. But long and short of all of that, God has used all of that and many more other details which I can't share to strengthen my faith. And I started to realize, as God was stripping anything that was of any value in my heart, it was so much easier to let go of everything else and just to say, "Yes, Lord, you want me to do that little thing that I used to kick and scream about? I can do that now. I've forsaken all of these things." And when I say that, I mean I'm not going in that direction anymore. And Lord, I just want to follow you, and whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. I didn't forsake all now to just try and latch on to anything I wanted. And I thank God how He's used that in my life just to really strengthen me in the area of faith. And so sure enough, what came after that was this burden of preparation, God calling to prepare. And I didn't get it. I'm thinking, prepare for what? I didn't know what I was preparing for. And sure enough, as I was reading in my devotions, Proverbs 21:31, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, and safety is of the Lord." Now prior to this, I was just doing one Bible course here and there and just getting a taste of things. By the way, with the verse, the very first Bible course I took on was biographies. And I thought, man, what do I want to learn about people for? Well, just tell me about Jesus. What a waste of time. But I've got to say, out of all the courses I've done, biographies is still my favourite. And that just really showed what Christianity was. And I'm seeing missionaries and martyrs and persecute. And I thought, what is all of this? And but that's the course that God used, and many other things, but mainly that course that God put a fire in my heart for missions and a burden to preach the gospel. And so it began with one Bible college course. And then when God made it clear this avenue of preparation, I could not get Bible college out of my head. I'd pray about certain things, I'd plan certain things, but just this Bible college kept coming back around, and it scared me, because I understand my capacity. I can't do it. I really can't do it. I really know my capacity. I don't have that mindset that's apt to study to that intensity especially. And so when I knew God was calling me to full-time Bible college, I hesitated. In 2013, I remember even talking to a few people saying, I think God wants me to go full-time, but I'm thinking about part-time. And I knew God wanted me to go full-time, but out of fear, I chose part-time. And I have to say, very early on in my salvation, it was an unforgettable experience to be out of the will of God and to experience the chastisement of a loving Father. And I've never known such a... I thought, this is amazing how God actually does this. But it was towards the end of the year, and I didn't know. I thought I'm doing all right. I'm studying. I'm in Bible college, Lord. You want me to go to Bible college? I'm doing that. But He didn't. It wasn't even about Bible college. It was just about obedience. He wanted to show Himself strong in my life. And as the Lord often does, He sends His prophet along from time to time. And a dear brother sat with me, and he was explaining to me. I shared with him how I believe, how I was fearful of doing full time because I don't have that capacity. And he challenged me to shorten it. He challenged me to trust God and just obey the Lord. God is trying to work something in my heart that I'd have no idea about. And so I did. And it was on the 16th of September where I surrendered consciously, and I confessed before God, Lord, I understand I'm out of your will, but I want to obey you. And I surrendered to the will of God, the calling of God, to Bible college. I still didn't know what for. I just knew prepare. And that was again, very eventful leading up to that. Leading up to the start of Bible college the following year. And I have to say, in summary of Bible college, it has been one humbling process. You're going to go in there confident. You're going to come out realizing you know nothing, as Jason testified. You're going to go in there full of zeal, and you're going to start to realize that the arm of the flesh can't get you very far. And the Lord was doing this kind of work, and he was still stripping me of things that I thought were so insignificant. I'm thinking, Lord, what's that got to do with anything? But He was putting His finger on my heart, saying, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Stop that. And again, I didn't understand it all, but I said, okay, Lord. I just kept saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And Bible college was a big breaking process for me. And I thank God for it. What He's done in the last 3-4 years is phenomenal. And I never thought that I would change, ever since I've been saved, change so dramatically in my thinking, in my understanding, especially in my love for Him in such a short amount of time. But I just want to encourage you, like Pastor Shabani even encouraged, I don't know if you picked it up last night, in this area of Bible college, God's not calling you because you're able. It's not about being able or not. He's trying to do a work in your heart. But don't think I'm going to go to Bible college because it's a good idea. I would encourage you, don't do that. Don't go to Bible college because you think it's a good idea. If God wants you there, let me encourage you, obey the Lord. He'll give you the grace and He'll show Himself strong. He always does. And the reason why I discourage the idea of if you think it's just a good idea, because when the going gets tough, you're going to fail because it was the arm of the flesh. But when you go in there knowing that no, God wanted me, I didn't want to be here. It wasn't even on my list of options. But God wanted me here. You can always go back to the fact that I don't get it. I can't do it. I'm struggling. I'm even failing. But one thing I know is God brought me here, and God wants me here, and so I'm going to continue by the grace of God. And that's what the Lord does. And that was purely the only thing that kept me in Bible college. The fact that I knew God wanted me there. And it was actually through Bible college where God confirmed His calling for my life. Again, I didn't know what He was preparing me for. And I was just praying, seeking, waiting. But in the meantime, I was just being obedient and faithful with God, what God has revealed in His Word. Getting involved in ministry, getting involved in outreach, getting involved witnessing, and so on and so forth. Just keeping busy doing these things. And sure enough, I spent one night with a dear brother, James Hood. He's an evangelist. And we fellowship often, and we spent this one night, and he takes great interest in what the Lord's doing in my life. He prays for me often, and he's asking me just questions about, you know, what do you think about these things? How do you feel about this state of the church? And so on, and just asking questions about my thoughts towards certain things. And as I'd be answering these things, he says, "Brother, look, I'm not God, but it sounds like God wants you to be an evangelist." And I said, "Look, I don't know about that. I don't mind what he wants me to be. I just want to be a Christian, you know." And he said, "Look, I don't know, but just these thoughts, the way you're thinking, the way you're feeling, this fire, and so on and so forth. God, looks like God's calling you to be an evangelist." And so we parted ways that night. And I remember coming to God. I said, "Lord, I really don't mind what you want me to be, but I don't want to stand up and give a testimony saying James Hood wanted me to be an evangelist. He thought I should be one, so I'm going to be one." And so I just said, "Lord, I really don't mind, but I just need your confirmation. That's all. I just want your confirmation. I'm happy to do what I'm doing. I'm going to keep doing it till I die, and I just need your confirmation." And sure enough, it was the following day in chapel, Pastor Shivani was preaching. And he turned to 2 Timothy 4:5, which says, "Do the work of an evangelist." And I thought through my head back saying, "Come on." I was like, "Yeah, this is real, man. This is like God hears prayers. He answers prayers. He leads you, guides, He's confirmed." And so though He's confirmed His calling, I'm not focusing on being an evangelist. My focus is still on being a Christian, walking in obedience. And but I do have to say, with Bible College, I started off as a Bible College critic. You don't need Bible College. You don't need Bible College. And I still believe there's an element. Look, wherever God wants you to be, you make sure you're there. Again, don't go for the good idea. As Angela would say, go for the God idea. And look, it's Bible College will teach you disciplines that you can't learn in many other places, to say the least. I wrestled with the fact that, well, if you're going to Bible college, the idea is to learn and gain knowledge. And I knew with the capacity that they were calling for, I wasn't able to do that. What will take someone 2 hours will take me about 4 to 6. That's not an exaggeration, because that's my capacity. And that was my hindrance and what scared me of going full time. But I understood later, this knowledge is going to be a lifetime thing. And by the way, you do go through college and you gain much knowledge and much understanding. But the disciplines you learn, and I tell you what, the hand of God, the way He just shows Himself strong, the grace of God upon your life over something as silly as a quiz. It's not about the quiz. It's about God just showing Himself strong. I remember coming before God countless times crying, "I'm not ready for this quiz, Lord. I'm really not. I'm fretting and my heart is pounding and class is about to start, and for whatever reason, the lecturer has a change of heart saying, "No more quiz today." And I'm thinking, wow, hey, look, God is amazing. He really is. And I appreciate the time allowing me to share my testimony. And let me just encourage you all, whatever the will of God is for your life, just yield to that. You'll never regret it. You really won't. Thank you.